Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Here what we want to consider are you devoted to the right thing in this life? What kind of devotion do you have? If you look at verse 29 in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, it says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." So notice they're located somewhere, and they're told they will seek the Lord, and there's the conditions about how you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Go back to verse 23, because where are they? It says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he made with you, and made for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over to the Jordan to possess. You will not long prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve other gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell." So here it's told, because you have done this thing, you're going to get the land that God has promised you, but when you get there, you're going to start to serve other gods. And at that point, God's going to punish them. He's going to scatter them among the nations. And when they're there in these different kinds of places, again, look at verse 29, because now they're scattered, they're being punished. "For from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your mind." Now, how does this pertain to us today? Those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there can be a time when we face great challenges. There can be a time when we start to no longer serve our God. We turn away from him, we sin, and we continue in that sin. But we have this promise, again, in verse 29, "You seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." Look at verse 30 in Deuteronomy chapter 4. "When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is merciful, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which we swore to them." So here we have a promise in the Old Testament. You turn back to God, what's he going to do? He's going to accept you. And today the same thing. When we get in those conditions, when we stray away from God, we have the promise, if we will seek him, if we'll turn back to him, he's going to accept us. And let's consider this for just a moment. Is living a Christian life easy? Is living a Christian life easy? No, it's not. But we need to make sure that even though we face struggles in our lives, that we remain faithful to him in every way. And it takes effort on our part. Now think for just a moment. I'm going to mention the name Lance Armstrong. Does anybody know who Lance Armstrong is? A cyclist, he won the Tour de France a record 7 consecutive times. And that was after he was diagnosed and survived cancer treatment. Now, we won't talk about the possible doping scandal, but he did all these incredible things. Now, what enabled him to be successful to do this, even though he had survived all the treatments from the cancer? He wrote this in a book, talking about his training. He says, I went back to training. I rode. I rode like I had never ridden, punishing my body up and down every hill I could find. I remember one day in particular, May 3rd, a raw European spring day, biting cold, I steered my bike into the Alps, and Johan followed in a car. By now, it was sleeting and 32 degrees. I didn't care. We stood at the roadside and looked at the view and the weather, and Johan suggested that we skip it. I said, no, let's do it. I rode for 7 straight hours alone. To win the tour, I had to be willing to ride when no one else would ride. Now, that's a definition of devotion, isn't it? You're willing to do what nobody else is willing to do. And there are many examples that you can find of these ideas about devotion. People who are going to work, they're going to expend their energy when nobody else does it because they're devoted. They want to win. There's another example about devotion. And this is Cyrus, who was the founder of the Persian Empire. He once captured a prince and his family. So notice, he's got this prince and his family in front of him. He's just captured him. And he says, what will you give me if I release you? He said, I'll give you half my wealth. What will you do if I release your children? I'll give you everything I possess. What will you do if I release your wife? He said, Your Majesty, I will give myself. Now Cyrus was so moved by the devotion of this man, he released them all. Now on the way home, the prince said to his wife, wasn't Cyrus a handsome man? And with a deep look of love at her husband, she said to him, I didn't notice. I only could keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me. Was the prince devoted to his family and to his wife? Yes, he was. And the wife could see that. Now, here's a question that we have before us. This kind of devotion. Are we devoted to our God? Are we devoted to our God? Think about the things that you're devoted to. The evidence about what you're devoted to largely is how you spend your time. Is that a true statement? How you spend your time. Now, some people are devoted to their jobs. They haven't missed a day in years. Some are devoted to their kids or their wife, and they'll make great sacrifices for them. Some are devoted to sports, and you can tell by the clothes they wear, how much money and how much time they spend on it. Some are devoted to entertainment or reading or having a good time. Whatever you're devoted to, you're going to spend time doing it. Is that a true statement? Yes, it is. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Again, the focus is, are we devoted to our God in serving Him? Do we have that kind of devotion? In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, we can see the kind of devotion that Jesus had, what he was willing to do. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus' devotion to us is he's willing to give what? To give his life. And that's exactly what he did. Now he also talks about us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Because our devotion must be solely on service to our God. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus said it this way, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and men. What is Jesus saying? You have to make a choice, don't you? Who are you going to be devoted to? Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve something else that you put before God? That's the choices that we have to make. Now, do we face struggles in our life? Yes, we do. And fortunately, God has given us the solutions that we need to face those struggles. But let's look at some other examples of those who were devoted. Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Because we have many biblical examples of how people lived their lives in showing their devotion, what they were devoted to. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach its statutes and its ordinances in Israel." So here we have Ezra, and what we find that he is devoted to is to seek the law of the Lord and to what? And to do it. And that's what we're called to do today. Seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And something more, look at the latter part of the verse, to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. That's what we're called to do. So he was devoted and he was dedicated to doing those things. Let's look at another example. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. And verse 14, beginning. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Nehemiah 5, 14 through 16. And I'm going to ask somebody to read that for me. Nehemiah 5, 14 through 16. Richard, could you read that?
"Moreover, from the day that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, for 12 years, neither I nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants domineered the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. And I also applied myself to the work on this wall. We did not buy any land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work."
And notice what Nehemiah did. Remember, they had been taken out away from the temple, the area. And now what are they doing? They're going to have to work on rebuilding, aren't they? And look at verse 16. He said, "Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall." So Nehemiah was devoted to rebuilding the wall. And he spent a lot of time doing that. Let's look at another example. Let's turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And here we find the example of David. In Psalm 86, beginning of verse 1, a prayer of David. "Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long." So here we find some of the devotion of David. And he says in these words, "Save your servant who trusts in you," in verse 2. "And then be merciful to me, Lord, for I cry to you all day long." So here we find David crying out to God all day long. Another way of saying he's praying to God. He's devoted in that kind of way. Another example, let's turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Again, we're talking about devotion. What we spend our time doing. In Romans chapter 16, beginning of verse 19, as Paul writes to the Roman Christians, he says this, "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." So what were the Roman Christians devoted to? Look at verse 19 again, the first part. your obedience has become known to all. They showed their devotion to God by being obedient, and it was known to all. Now, devotion can be defined in this way. If you concentrate your efforts on a particular pursuit, occupation, or purpose, and you set aside everything else because you're dedicated or you're committed to do something. Now, for the next couple of minutes, I want to consider this question. Do you really want to go to heaven? Let me say that question again. Do you really want to go to heaven? There was a teacher who was testing the children in class on Sunday morning to see if they understood the concept about going to heaven. And she asked them, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all the money donated to somebody else, would that get me into heaven? The kid said, no, it's not going to do it. If I cleaned the church building every day, if I mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven? Again, they said no. And then she was starting to smile because this is kind of fun asking. She said, well then, if I was kind to the animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my husband, would that get me into heaven? She said no. They all said no. And she was really happy because they understood, no, that's not going to get you into heaven. And then she said, well then, how do I get into heaven? And a five-year-old said, you gotta be dead. Now let me ask you a question again. Do you really want to get to heaven? Do you really want to get to heaven? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I will say that I really want to get to heaven. I hope you do too. But there's some things that are required to do that. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So part of this devotion, this commitment, if you really want to get to heaven, you have to be like Paul. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that is so important. Does Christ live in you? If you want to get to heaven, he must live in you. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is a very important question. Christ must live in you. Are you willing to die for Christ? Are you willing to die for Christ? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. What's Paul talking about? Difficulties he had going to different places and preaching the word. Verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. Who do they trust in? In all the different struggles they had? They trusted in God, no matter what came their way. Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 2, another example, in answering this question, do you want to get to heaven? In Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and what will he give you? I will give you a crown of life. Now, those are kind of promises that we find in God's Word. So again, the question, are you truly devoted to God? Do you want to get to heaven? Are you willing to be faithful unto what? Unto death, and receive the crown of life. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Because Jesus spoke about those things that are necessary to receive the promise that we have if we are faithful to Him. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, then He said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So once again, the idea of what? Taking up the cross and following Him how often? Once a week? No, every day. Taking up that cross, that commitment. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Again, the idea about being devoted to God, and you really want to get to heaven. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Living and dying. Putting all proper perspective. Now there might be someone here this morning who's not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was reading an article about a man who was talking, and he was in class, and he asked the man, how did you become fill in the blank, a Methodist? How does one become a Methodist? He says, well, the Bible. You read the Bible and you become a Methodist. He says, okay, how does one become a Baptist? You read the Bible, you become a Baptist. He says, well, I'm confused. If I read the Bible, how can I be a Methodist and how can I be a Baptist? We can be whatever you want to be, in essence, just by reading the Bible. Is that a true statement? Many people are reading the Bible, and they're being whatever they want to be. Right? The Bible tells it this way, study to show yourself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's the important thing. Because if you study to become approved, you must rightly divide the word of God. And that's so important. We must spend time doing that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6. Because if we want to go to heaven, this is what we're going to have to do. And it's one of the most simple verses, I think, in scriptures. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what do we put first? We put God and His kingdom first. And that is what we must do if we want to be found faithful to Him. So the question I'll ask one more time, do you really want to get to heaven? And remember what the little boy said? You got to be what? You got to be dead to get there. Let's turn back again to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, the focus about what that means. You got to be dead to get to Him. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You must be crucified with Christ, and He lives in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life that I live by faith, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And the lesson is yours this morning. Again, that question, are you truly devoted to God? Do you spend the time you need? And do you really want to get to heaven? with the struggles that you get. Now, I've been preaching, I think, now for about 32 years at least. 32 years. And it's amazing to me, because I've said this before, the message is basically pretty simple, right? Live for Christ. Live for Christ. Live for Christ. And it's an idea that's real simple, and it needs to be repeated over and over and over again. Recently, I had an acquaintance of mine send me a text. Teacher, new teacher. And they were asking for help. I had a problem. I says, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I taught them this. Next week, they completely forgot what I taught. Does that ever happen in school? And I had to think about this for a moment. Because I had taught for many years and I knew how to deal with the problem. But how do you teach a young teacher how to do that in a few words? And my response to him, if you want them to learn, I just said it to him, repetition, 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 repetition. Is that a true statement? Repetition. Should we spend time in God's Word? Yes. Do we need to read it over and over and over again? Yes. But that's how we learn, is repetition. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that. And if you're here, brother or sister in Christ, you have a spiritual need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.